The Spider-Man No Way Home trailer is finally here. CM Punk has returned to wrestling. Shang-Chi is out next week. Can life get any better for nerds? I don't think so. See you in a second. What's up, everyone? Welcome back to Metalcore Nerds. My name is Sean Mott, the host of the show. I am riding solo today. If you're new to the show, the format of the show is usually I have a guest from the heavy music community and we talk about something pop culture. Scheduling has been the bane of my existence lately. It is no one's fault. People have lives. People are busy. I'm busy with work and other things. So it happens. So to you, momentous things happened in the past week, which we're going to talk about both. We're going to bookend it. CM Punk returned to wrestling, which I'll get into in just a second. And the Spider-Man No Way Home trailer is real. It's out. We've all watched it probably multiple times. And I'm going to talk all about it. There's a few things in between. Movies I've watched, shows I've watched. I'm going to talk Shang-Chi reactions and reviews that have been coming out in the past week as well. I'm so excited for that movie. But first and foremost, if you're new to Metalcore Nerds, thank you for checking us out. If you're watching this on YouTube, please leave a comment below and let me know what you think of this format. Like and subscribe. As always, if you're listening to this in audio form, please subscribe on Apple Podcasts, follow on Spotify, leave a review on Apple Podcasts. That stuff is going to help the podcast grow in the future. And also, there is a t-shirt, which is going to become even more relevant now after the Spider-Man No Way Home trailer. The Metalcore Mephisto shirt, which is right here on screen, is still available. I'm actually placing an order today, but there's still going to be sizes left over. The store will be updated with the limited sizes. I'm only ordering 50 of them, so once they're gone, they're gone. Get on it now while the Mephisto train is running hot again, and support the podcast. Also, the old designs are on sale, as well as an enamel pin. $5. Really cheap for an enamel pin. Pick that stuff up. It really helps me put more money into making this podcast better. So, first topic. CM Punk, last Friday, started off the second AEW Rampage to one of the loudest pops probably in wrestling history. I've had a few episodes about wrestling in here. Most people know I'm very, very in love with AEW and wrestling right now in general. AEW has kind of renewed my love for wrestling in the past year and a half they've been around. And CM Punk is the reason I got back into wrestling. When I was a kid, I would watch wrestling with my friends. Big Hardy Boys fan. Loved The Rock, Stone Cold, Shawn Michaels, the normal. But then as I grew up, I was skateboarding and I learned to play guitar and things like that. I fell out of it in most of the 2000s probably, and then I heard about a documentary about this guy CM Punk, like, oh, he's straight edge, and I was like, oh, straight edge wrestler, that's pretty wild. So I put it on and it made me get right back into wrestling. I was following with CM Punk super hard, and then a friend who also went to shows, my friend Maddie, he was like, dude, you should check out Ring of Honor and PWG and New Japan Pro Wrestling. I was like, oh, what's this stuff? And he showed me, and then that's how I got. Funny enough, there's a local federation in upstate New York called 2CW, which is actually coming back, and they had a show in Syracuse, and I went and saw it, and I believe it was the main event was the Dudley Boys versus the Young Bucks. I've never heard of the Young Bucks before this. This was probably 2011, 2012, maybe. Probably 2011, because I think I got back into wrestling around 2010-ish is when I found the CM Punk documentary, whenever that year that came out. It could have been 2011. I've been watching wrestling again for like 10 years at this point, or give or take. So I went and saw that. I was like, wow, these guys are insane. I can't believe I've never heard about them. But I mean, I guess I could, because I had no idea about the indie wrestling world. It kind of, him, that show and Maddie in particular, skyrocketed me into the indie wrestling world. Started watching PWG, New Japan, not regularly because it was really hard watching New Japan back in the day. I would just pretty much watch like an illegal stream of Wrestle Kingdom every year. Now there's obviously New Japan World and things like that. And I just fell in love with this stuff. because of 2CW, I got to see a ton of people wrestle in very small crowds. That is seemingly impossible to do now. I saw AJ Styles tag with the Young Bucks in a trios match in front of like 200, maybe 300 people in this like sold out American Legion. They also wrestled again with Kenny Omega, which was amazing. Roderick Strong was on the show. Sammy Callahan was on the show. He was actually the 2CW champion when he still is. Now that the promotion is getting back together, he still is he's 2CW champion. He defended it against Dalton Castle at the last show, which was amazing. In one of the other last shows, the main event was like Matt Cross versus Johnny Gargano versus John Morrison, which is you could not see it anywhere else other than there, because they've never been in a promotion together, I don't think, because John Morrison was in Lucha Underground or maybe some other indie show, small indie show, but still, it was a very rare thing to see. So that's what got me into the Young Bucks and following that with the Bullet Club stuff and everything like that. And once All Elite Wrestling was formed, I was hooked from the start with everything they have involved. And I know there's been many rumors over the years, these past 7 years that CM Punk has been gone, that he was going to come back. And I was always hopeful for it, no matter how many times it happened. Honestly, when the new rumors came up, I was like, man, I hope it's true. But if it's not, whatever, because I kind of learned to not expect it. And if it did happen, awesome. I'm here for it. But it happened. And it was honestly an insanely special moment. I guess it's weird to say or not weird to say, but I don't know. I have a very strong relationship with wrestling and comic book properties and pop culture. It just helped me through some really hard times in my life. And that might be why I have such a connection to it. And it's also when CM Punk came out and the dude had tears in his eyes, and you could see how much he loved this and how much he missed this and how much he needed that moment. It just hits me like right to my core. Like, I feel it too. Like, I don't know CM Punk. I don't know his life, what he's been through. You know, like, I don't know what it feels like to go to a sold out arena full of 15,000 plus people and hear a reaction like that. But just seeing the love he has for this, it was everything. The whole moment was perfect. And I can't wait to see his match against Darby Allin in a few weeks. I can't wait to see who else he feuds with and what they do going forward. I was already in with AEW, but I think this is a game changer for them. And now there's rumors of Adam Cole maybe not staying with WWE. He could come back. His wife or girlfriend, I don't know if Britt Baker's his wife or girlfriend, so apologies. She's there. She's a champion there. He has a relationship with the Young Bucks, and he was in the Bullet Club. So he's did everything he could do in NXT. He won all the champions. He had the biggest faction in WWE in the last how many years, since maybe like the Shield. And him going to the main roster, no offense if you watch WWE main roster stuff, just not my thing. Even NXT, just not my thing anymore. I watched it from the first show on the network when it was Bo Dallas in a ladder match against the now Pac. And I watched it up until like a year and a half ago. It just became not my thing. It became like a televised PWG to me, in my opinion. If you like it, that's cool. No hate against it. Just not my thing. I like watching AEW. There's a lot of content out there I consume. And that's all I have time for is two AEW shows a week now and the quarterly pay-per-views. And that's fine with me. I enjoy watching it. It's a lot of fun for me. And if it's not your thing, that's fine too. It's just, I am very stoked about this. Like I said, the likelihood of Adam Cole is kind of 50-50, I would guess, but it seems pretty likely. And then Bryan Danielson, aka Daniel Bryan, is pretty much confirmed, I guess, at this point. If CM Punk showed up and Daniel Bryan is not with WWE anymore, I would imagine he's showing up at the New York City, the big venue they booked there. I would assume that is when he is going to make his debut. There's the question of Bray Wyatt, where he's going to go. And there, with CM Punk coming, there has to be a possibility of AJ Lee showing up in AEW, which would be massive for their women's division. So we'll see where it goes, but I'm insanely excited for it. And let me guys, I saw a lot of my friends I've never talked wrestling with, especially in the group, talk about CM Punk coming back. So it seems like a lot of people are excited. If anyone hasn't brought up anything, just let me know what you think of CM Punk coming back to wrestling and
Some people don't like AEW, so if you don't like AEW, that's fine.
But on to the next thing. This past Sunday, Sam, myself, and a couple of friends, we went and saw Free Guy, starring Ryan Reynolds, and Taika Waititi, the one and only. And I have to say, insanely surprising how good that movie was. I thought it would just be like an okay movie. Like, as most people know, I'm that guy who likes everything, which isn't true. There's stuff I don't like, but I am overly positive on most things. I watch movies to enjoy them. I'm not a critic. I would never consider myself a critic. There's certain things I'm critical of, but I'm just a dude who talks about stuff I like in pop culture, and that's it. I'm just a dude. But I did not expect to like this movie as much as I did. It's super funny. Taika Waititi is insanely hilarious in this movie. And it has this insane amount of heart and this underlying message that is just so great. If you haven't seen this movie, it just came out in theaters two Fridays ago. Go see it. It's only in theaters. I know, I think after 30 days, it's going to be available on PVOD and stuff. And I'm sure it will end up on Disney Plus or Hulu at some point, probably a few months down the road. But see this in theaters. And there's also a scene. I'm not going to reveal anything in the scene in case people haven't seen it yet. But there is a scene in this movie that is going to make you cheer. It was so wild. Sam, during part of it, goes, "I need something to throw." And I've talked about some of the positives before. It takes a lot for her to react to something very positively. She likes a lot of stuff too, but she was freaking out about this. That's all I'm going to say. So if you have the time, go see Free Guy. I highly recommend it. It's on my top 10 of the list for movies of the year so far. I think it's number 5 so far right now. I have to think about it a little more. I put it at 5 because I didn't want a recency bias to affect it. But there's also an insane amount of movies that look really amazing coming out this year. So it's hard for me to say it'll even stay in the top 10 with the amount of insane movies. We still have Shang-Chi next week, which I'm going to talk about next. You know, Eternals is coming out. Spider-Man No Way Home is coming out. Dune is coming out. Last Night in Soho, the Edgar Wright movie is coming out. There's just so much. Like, Candyman's coming out this week, which could be amazing. I already have Quiet Place Part 2 is my number one movie right now, and it's a horror movie. So a lot of people are like, "Oh, I bet you all your movies are superhero movies." I think there's two superhero movies in my top 10 right now. One is Black Widow, which I think will get bumped out within the next whatever new movies come out that are amazing. It's like number 8 or something right now, so it's definitely not going to make it to the end of the year. And Zack Snyder's Justice League is up there, but I thought that movie was really great. I know people have other opinions, but I thought it was very cool and very unprecedented, the whole events of that, which I have a whole episode of us talking about it for about 3 hours, if you want to check that out, with Joey Stone, Ethan Harrison, and Rob Miramonte. It's a fun one. A lot of yelling, but it's a fun one. On to our next topic. Only two topics left. I want to keep this pretty short. Going to talk about Shang-Chi reactions and then the Spider-Man trailer. So Shang-Chi had its premiere last Monday. People were dropping their first reactions, and then the non-spoiler review embargo lifted yesterday. I'm going to talk mostly about first reactions because some of the non-spoiler reviews gave away some plot points that weren't exactly revealed in the trailer. Not saying that they're full spoilers, but I know some people don't even like that. So I'm just going to go first reactions. So it's really just people's feelings on the movie, and they are overwhelmingly positive. It has made me even more stoked for this movie. And I guess another big thing that people have said, the way the trailers have portrayed this movie, said it's nothing like the actual story of the movie, which is awesome to me. I love that Marvel completely flips everything on our head. They get us stoked for something, and then they show something completely different than we expect. They have become the masters at that, and I love it. And I'll get more into that with the Spider-Man trailer, because I think they're doing a lot with there too. But first up, we got Brandon Davis from comicbook.com. He's always entertaining to watch all of his stuff. It's usually very short if you haven't watched it on YouTube. He'll do Easter egg breakdowns, stuff like that. He just put up an awesome interview with Kevin Feige
Kevin Feige is probably the most interesting interview I've ever watched because he answers everything and nothing simultaneously. It's amazing. I don't know how that dude's brain works, to be honest. But Brandon Davis from Comic-Con.com said, Shang-Chi is awesome. This movie hits at all Marvel does well, pacing, humor, character, and adds action like we've never seen from the MCU before. Lots of people are about to have a new favorite Marvel hero. Darker than expected, loads of fun, integral to Phase 4. Pretty big deal, I think. The Illuminati put, Shang-Chi is a perfect balance of fun, heart, and action. And when I say action, I mean jaw-dropping action. Simu Liu is the perfect addition to the MCU. And there's been some interviews with Simu Liu, too. And this dude just seems like the best human being ever. He's so fun and charismatic. I cannot wait to see this guy in full Marvel form.
Let's see what we got next here. Wendy Lee, she used to work for Collider. I'm not sure what she works for now, but she says, Shang-Chi and Legend of Ten Rings is phenomenal. Get hyped. Even fight scene action sequence is better than the last. Simu Liu fully embraces the Marvel superhero role. Amazing imagery, killer soundtrack. You'll want to see this on the big screen. And another thing to note, this is only available in theaters. I believe it's 45 days in theaters, and then it's dropping on Disney+. I'm thinking for free. Just after 45 days, immediately on Disney+. POC culture. I watched Shang-Chi. It's amazing blends of East meets West. Hong Kong martial arts action comes to the MCU and changes the game. It's emotional, beautiful, and hilarious. This isn't like any MCU film to date. Wow. And I've seen a lot of that. It doesn't feel like an MCU movie, but it ties in nicely, which they've really been doing that lately. Loki, completely out of the box. WandaVision, even more out of the box. The Eternals looks like a full-on sci-fi movie. So I'm very excited to see this movie. That's as you can see, very, very excited. Let's see what we got here. This is Eric Goldman from Fandom. I really dug Shang-Chi. There's a lot not in the trailers. Maybe avoid ads in the next couple weeks. I fear they may show more. And that is true. I have not watched any of the TV spots coming up to it because I do not want to see more than I've already seen. And I, that was a big worry for me, that the trailers showed too much with like the Wong and Abomination fight and the dragon in the last trailer and stuff like that. I was like, man, are they giving away too much? But it seems like they didn't at all. It has its own vibe and distinct elements that make it stand out and not feel like a standard origin story. And Simu Liu makes for an awesome hero. John Campia went on and said, this is his favorite comic book movie since Logan. Since Logan. That's no Into the Spider-Verse, no Infinity War, no Endgame. He's putting it over all of that. That's high praise. I know Koy Jandrew said it was in his top 10 Marvel films, which being a top 10 Marvel film in this day and age is crazy, because that middle of Marvel films are all great films. You know, like, it's hard after 25 movies to get up in that middle part. So with people who I usually agree on these kind of things or see mostly eye to eye with, after watching their reviews and stuff like that, I feel like I'm going to love this movie. I mean, shocker, I love everything, but I don't think MCU's put out a bad movie. They've just put out some that aren't as good as the great ones or aren't as good as the really good ones. There's been some movies that were fine or, you know, I just don't think any of them were bad. For it to be a bad movie, it has to be like unwatchable. That's what I think of as a bad movie, in my opinion. That's probably why people think I like everything, because it takes a lot. Because most movies are just fun for me. Like Mortal Kombat and Godzilla vs. Kong. If you break them out into a movie, are they jaw-dropping, beautiful, meaningful movies? No. Were they fun? Fuck yes. They were fun as fuck. And I loved watching them. Doesn't mean they're an amazing movie. They're not even in my top 10 of this year. But they were fun. They weren't bad movies. I don't know. That's just my take on that stuff. I'm going to round this out, close this out with the Spider-Man No Way Home trailer. Dropped at like 10 last night or something like that. Eastern. And I really didn't think
this trailer would live up to the hype. Obviously, people have been talking about this for months. When are we going to get the trailer? I want the trailer. The leak happened the day before, and people said they were watching that. And I'm sorry, but I'm not going to watch a recording of off someone's phone for a trailer that didn't have finished VFX. Like, I'm good. I'll wait a day or 2 days or whatever and see the real thing. And I did. I didn't watch the leak. I heard the conditions, and I was like, no, I probably wouldn't even watch the leak anyway. I'll just wait until it comes out because it's a trailer. We can wait for a trailer. I mean, we're going to see this movie anyway. I know a lot of people were saying, hey, would you go see this movie? The trailer was like, out. I mean, obviously, it's Spider-Man. I know people have their criticisms on Tom Holland Spider-Man or the MCU versions of Spider-Man saying, oh, you know, like, we haven't really seen Spider-Man. It's like, well, he's a kid. In all the other iterations of Spider-Man, you know, he was going to college and, you know, or just barely in high school and things like that. And I think we're going to get to the friendly neighborhood Spider-Man. I just think this stuff is going to make that stuff even more interesting of him going through all of this. Multiverse stuff, traveling in space, fighting Thanos. I think it's only going to make the older Peter Parker stuff more interesting going through all of this, in my opinion. In Spider-Man Homecoming, everyone says, oh, it's Spider-Man and Iron Man. Iron Man isn't even in 5 minutes of that movie. Like, straight up. He's not. And the whole point of that movie, the whole climax of that movie, is him standing on his own and getting the job done by himself. That's the whole point of the movie. And then he realizes that even more when he turns down being an Avenger. I feel like a lot of people miss that point of the movie. Even Spider-Man Far From Home. Yes, it's in the shadow of Tony Stark dying in Endgame, but he still has to do it on his own. And even this trailer, there's all this crazy stuff with Doctor Strange and villains coming from different universes, but it still feels like it's Peter Parker's problem. At the root of it, it's still Peter Parker. Like, it very much still felt like this is Spider-Man's story. And I really love that. And like I was saying before, I did not think this trailer would live up to expectations, but I think it blew all of our expectations out of the water, besides some of the people complaining that Andrew Garfield and Tobey Maguire weren't in it. Which is crazy to me. You think they would put that in a trailer, man? Like, no. That is a movie moment. That's like Cap wielding Mjolnir. It's a movie moment. Now, I don't think it'll get as big a reaction as that. But if you think about it, this is a multi-generational team-up that's happening. A lot of us grew up on the Raimi Spider-Man. Some of us grew up on the Andrew Garfield Spider-Man. Or we saw those as well. And now we have this new iteration of Spider-Man. We're seeing all of those three of them team up. That's insane. And it's going to be awesome, even though we probably know what's going to happen. Even evidence from this trailer kind of lends to that proof, in a way. So, the trailer starts off. It picks off right after the events of the Far From Home credit scene of the J. Jonah Jameson video that Mysterio sent in exposing Spider-Man as Peter Parker. You see him on the run. You see him getting arrested, detained, being seemingly tried for murder of Mysterio, which is wild. I can't wait to see how that plays out. And then he realizes people knowing his identity is making all of his loved ones in danger, which is what Batman has brought up. The mask is for his loved ones, not really for himself, to protect them. And he realizes he needs to do something, so he goes and sees Doctor Strange. And now, I have to say, Doctor Strange acting real strange, for sure. We go in the sanctum. It's all covered in snow. And he's in this college, the sweater from the college he went to, and a puffy winter coat with the cloak over him. And his hair does look very almost cartoony. Not cartoony, but it's the lines are so perfect. His goatee is perfect. Something is off. Even the whole interaction with Wong's like, don't do that spell. Peter's like, hey, please help me. People forget that I'm Spider-Man. Wong's like, don't do it. And he's like, oh, I won't. But then gave him like the Agatha wink. And I was like, this is weird. And then we go into which looks like the Sanctum basement. And he's it looks like he takes a hair of Peter's, is setting the spell, and then Peter seems to have second thoughts because he said, have everyone forget that Peter Parker is Spider-Man. Or the world doesn't know there's a Spider-Man. And he's like, whoa, 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 MJ needs to know, Aunt May needs to know, Ned needs to know. And it messes up the spell, and it goes all crazy, and it seems like Doctor Strange cracked the multiverse? Maybe? This whole time we're like, where is Doctor Strange in WandaVision? What is Doctor Strange doing when the multiverse is unleashed in Loki? And I know there's a theory out there, and it could be true, it could very well not be true, that the scene that we see in this trailer, the scene in Loki where he who remains says we've passed the threshold, and the scene in the post-credit scene of WandaVision could all be happening at the same time. There definitely could be no credence to that at all. But this could be the moment that unleashes the multiverse, and he who remains already knew this happened, and him killing him and not resetting it with his laws of the TVA and his powers unleashes all the other multiversal Kangs into existence. And then as soon as the multiverse is released, Wanda hears her children crying out to her, and she goes after them. It's possible. We'll see. But why would Doctor Strange do this? Is it because he's too cocky? Like, he's like, oh, I saved half the universe. My plan went out. I said there was one possible way we could win. We did it. I'm the best sorcerer ever. And he's just like, I can do this. Whatever. It'll be fine. But then there's also lines later in the trailer saying you can't live two lives. And the multiverse is something we don't know much about. I don't know. It's so tough to say. And I will say, I do think most of this trailer is a complete and utter misdirect. As what I saw with the Shang-Chi first reactions, trailers seem to be a lot of the misdirect in what actually happens in the movie, which I love. So I wouldn't be surprised if they did it with here too. A lot of scenes are put in ways where you think people are interacting with certain people, but they're really not. People do that in trailers all the time. So we'll see about that. And then the trailer just kind of breaks havoc into the Inception-like visuals we've seen in Doctor Strange in the mirror dimension. He pushes his astral form out of him like the Ancient One did to Hulk in Endgame. And he's holding this box, which a lot of people are theorizing that this box is holding the multiversal villains in. And Spider-Man is trying to stop Doctor Strange from doing so, because if they get put back, they'll die or something like that. Like, it's a theory. It could be true. It could be not be. So sorry if that spoils anything in case. And then we end up seeing a bunch of lightning, which could be Jamie Foxx's Electro. We see a bunch of sand coming up, which could be Sandman from the Raimi-verse. People are saying they see Lizard in one scene. It's very hard to see. So that's kind of... But Daniel RPK did say that Lizard would probably be one of the villains involved in this. And then, of course, we see Willem Dafoe's Green Goblin bomb go off, and we hear his laugh. So that seemingly confirms that he's in the movie. And then the end shot of all end shots of trailers, Alfred Molina's Doc Ock shows up and says, hello, Peter. Confirming he's in the movie, he kind of already confirmed it in an interview months ago, but fully confirmed, he's definitely in the movie. Seems like Willem Dafoe's in it. Jamie Foxx already confirmed it. There was rumors of Sandman being in it. I don't know if there's rumors of Lizard, but there's been so many rumors of this movie, it's hard to even keep track anymore. Man, this trailer was amazing. And I don't think Alfred Molina is talking to Tom Holland, even though they make it seem like he is. He's probably talking to Tobey Maguire's Spider-Man, but we'll wait and see for the movie to see if that actually happens, of course. But man, that was a trailer. That was so awesome. Like I said, I did not think it would live up to the hype. It did. 100%. But I was already going to this movie. I love Tom Holland's Spider-Man. He's my favorite Spider-Man personally. Homecoming is probably one of my favorite Spider-Man movies. It's probably 2 or 3. Into the Spider-Verse is number 1. But Homecoming is either 2 or 3. Spider-Man 2 is still a top-tier Spider-Man movie. It just is. I watched the Raimi trilogy. Austin and from Goski and I had an awesome episode detailing the whole trilogy, which you can check out. And yeah, I am very stoked for this movie. Let me know what you guys thought of the trailer. Are you excited for this movie? Who do you want to see as the Sinister Six? I also think the multiversal Sinister Six is happening in this movie. I think it's going to be those five I listed and Mysterio. Could be totally wrong, but I don't care. I'm here for this movie. I'm here for what they're doing, and I can't wait to see how it plays out. Again, comment or hit us up on social media at Metalcore Nerds. Let us know what you thought of this trailer, who you want to see as the other villains in this movie, and let me know if you like this style of podcast, me just going on for a half an hour solo. I'm thinking about bringing out some friends, and we're just going to do this kind of same thing, talking about news and in between the big events like the MCU Trivia Night and movies coming out. There's going to be a Shang-Chi panel, 100%. It's coming. It's going to be awesome. Sam's going to be on it. I'm very excited for it. But till next time, see you later, nerds.